Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. See if Gilbert's sleeping yet. Okay, Gilbert is here.
Lately, he has not been sleeping.
No, he hasn't been sleeping. Gilbert, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Well, hold on. Do you have any opening? Do you have an opening statement?
Yeah, about the Astros. What do you think?
I was right when I was on the nose. I'm on the nose.
You what?
I knew that was going to happen.
Oh,
I knew that was going to happen.
Yep, you did.
Yeah, you did. You called it.
Don't you believe me?
You said they would get smoked.
We wanted them to win, and you said they were going to get smoked, so we didn't like it. No, we didn't like
but
it.
But you were right.
Yeah, you were right. You
30,
were
35. Yeah, 35.
Right. I'm going to get a belt for it anyway.
You what?
What's that?
Well, let me ask you something. Okay. Lance, you there right now?
Yeah, I'm here.
If you have privilege for your clients, come pick me up and take me, bring me over there.
Yeah. He can do that.
At
Christmas party of clients, you're going to pick Gilbert up.
No, you said you weren't going because of the blood sugar level.
I don't write about it. Too many people are sick, got coronavirus.
You got coronavirus?
Not anyway.
Well, you can't, if you got coronavirus, you can't.
Some of my Chinese friends are dead because of coronavirus.
Oh, Gilbert.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm not lying. I'm just true anyway.
No, I believe you.
I'm upset about it anyway.
We're sorry to hear that.
We got a question for you, Gilbert.
Yeah.
Okay, Nick, you know who Nick Caserio is? He's the general manager of the Houston Texans.
What about him?
Okay, so he gave us some answers yesterday. We want you to pretend you're the general manager of the Houston Texans. We want you to pretend that you're the general manager of the Houston Texans, and we want to ask you some questions and see if we can get some answers about what's going on with Deshaun Watson, okay?
I don't know I can do that. I don't know I can handle that.
Okay, well, wait.
Handle it, Gilbert.
Okay, so, Gilbert, okay. Why didn't you trade Deshaun Watson?
Legal problems. That's what it is.
Yeah. Well. Okay. All right.
Okay,
now that's a better answer than okay.
Hold on. Did you have that cut? Can you cut what Gilbert just? Gilbert, we're going to ask you the same question. Don't jump in on it. I want to have it for posterity's sake. Gilbert, ask the question again.
Gilbert, why didn't you trade Deshaun Watson?
He got legal problems anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
So I want to compare that with Nick Caserio. Let's see who has the better answer.
Which answer is more actually to the point? Okay.
Number 35. Cut number 35. So Gilbert said legal problems.
Now,
that's what it is.
Nick
and then
Caserio.
Legal problems.
Here's
anyway.
Nick Caserio. All right.
It hasn't been a distraction. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but it really hasn't been a distraction to me. And our the team has done a great job of focusing on the things that they can control as well. So I'd say, quite frankly, it's probably more of a distraction away from.
Yeah, you ask a different question.
Yeah, that was a different one. All right, yeah, Gilbert. All right, let me ask you this question. What about discussion? Have you discussed trading Deshaun Watson with any of the other NFL teams?
Miami.
Okay. All right. And what did Miami, and why didn't you come to a deal with Miami? What happened?
I don't know. Well, ask me that. I'm not a general manager. I'm just a dumb Chinaman, that's all. I don't know about football, like baseball, you know.
Gilbert, stop. We're just giving you a chance to answer as a general. All right. You're a baseball fan? I can't. Are you a baseball fan, Gilbert? Are you an Astros
baseball
fan?
Baseball and a football fan.
Baseball and football, okay. When I ask you, let me take you to
Not college football. Hold on a second.
I like college football.
Right. But we thought you had some pretty good answers there, Gilbert.
You were honest answers.
You're not dumb.
Yeah. Just,
you gave us better answers than Nick Caserio
did. That was our whole point. You actually have some questions. Let me ask you a couple questions about the college football playoffs.
I don't like college football. I mean, no college football.
I know.
I don't like college football.
I know. Just wondering.
I don't know any player that's college football, okay?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Forget about that. Right.
No, we know.
Okay, we're not going to ask about it. Why did you trigger him? Why does college football upset you so badly? My goodness. Okay.
There is a lot of college football.
All right. No college football.
Okay. No college football.
I never would have caught them to begin with anyway. Why'd you ask me that for anyway now?
I didn't mean it as any kind of a. I know you didn't go to college, but you don't have to go to college.
How do you know you didn't go to college?
To like college football.
Why did you even mention college football?
Gilbert, why did that make you so upset that I just said one thing about college football, just kind of as a joke?
It's not funny, anyway.
You're not funny to me anyway, though.
Listen, I apologize. I did not mean to offend you.
Are you going to pick him up now for the Christmas party or not?
No. Okay, so, Gilbert. Question.
Tell him to pick me up. I'm not going to ride no bus out of
Okay, we'll find somebody. I guess it's going to be Dell. Dell will pick you up. Is that okay?
You remember Dell?
He's not on the show. He's got time to pick you up.
He'll pick you up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, now we're going to pretend like you're the general manager of the Houston Astros, a team that you know the Astros. So now we're going to talk about Astros baseball. Gilbert Click, question about Carlos Correa. Do you anticipate that the Astros will make legitimate offers to Carlos Correa to keep him here? And what do you think has to happen for Carlos Correa to stay a Houston Astro?
Pay him more money.
That's an honest answer. Once again, you knock it out of the ballpark.
He's concise.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Right. Mr. Click, what are your thoughts on keeping Zach Greinke around? Can you see a scenario where Zach Greinke is still a Houston Astro?
What the other player who's injured right now?
Justin Verlander.
Verlander. If Verlander is healed up and pretty good, you got to go.
Well, Greinke got to go. Got to go. That's all. That's all he said.
And then your thoughts on bringing Dusty Baker back as manager?
I think it will last, but you know. I think it'd be hospitalized like he did Larry Durkin a long time ago, you know.
What'd you say?
72 years old anyway, you know.
He's old. You know, you got rid of Larry Durkin a long time ago.
No, but what was your answer? Yeah, I think he said hospitalized.
Yeah, he'll be manager next year, but it will be like Larry Durkin, you know.
Yeah.
Which means what?
Get sick, you know, fainting, you know.
I don't think he's going to faint.
Like Larry Durker did that.
Larry Durker wasn't in his 70s.
No, he was. No, he had the grand mal seizure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said hospitalized. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Larry Durker got injured.
You're not predicting some kind of seizure, please.
Gilbert said
I understand what happened to Larry Durker.
We're just asking about Dusty Baker coming back and managing the team.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he will do a good job this time.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I like it.
I think he'll do a good
job
this time.
I feel more comfortable with those kind of answers. Do you think there's a pitcher that – can you talk about free agency yet and how you anticipate approaching the free agent market for the Astros?
I have no comments at that time.
Okay.
All right. No comments at this time.
Fair enough.
I love it.
This is the greatest.
These are much better.
100% should be a GM of
a
team.
Yes.
How about we make you general manager of a college football team?
Yeah, you called yourself dumb earlier, Gilbert, and that's not true. You're the smartest. You're probably the smartest GM in this city. Okay.
You're up there. Would you consider running personnel side of a college football team? Yes or no?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. No, he doesn't.
What if you had our job? Well, not our job, but media relations. So every team has a media relations director that has to work between the team and the media.
Would you like that?
So in other words, if we called the Astros, and let's say you were media relations director of the Astros, and we had to call you to try to get interviews and stuff like that, what would you say if John called Gilbert and asked for to get an interview with somebody from the Astros?
Listen, this is Channel 2, and we really want Dominique Soxa to come to your park, and we would like her to interview Justin Verlander. Would that be possible, General Manager Gilbert?
Media relations,
Gilbert. You can Dominique Soxa come?
Yeah, can you ask Dominique Soxa to come to the Christmas party?
Well, okay, so we're just trying to get interviews for Local 2 right now.
Yeah. And I don't know if Verlander and Dominique are coming to the Christmas party. We don't know.
Justin Verlander, that's an impossible. That was a trick question, by the way, Gilbert, because Justin Verlander doesn't remember where Minute Maid Park is anymore. He hasn't been for so long.
Right.
So that was actually a trick question.
Right.
I don't have no further questions.
That about it?
That's about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's going to.
Okay. Gilbert just ended this press conference.
I think that's going to do it. Anything else that you need to say?
No, that's it.
Any other comments that you have?
Yeah, keep the leg will flying. Go. Go Texans Sunday, beat Miami. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right.
He's got his tagline now that he remembers.
Go Texans. Go.
Keep those
eggs. He was like, who am I going to say go?
I don't think he
watches. What was the problem?
I don't think he watches much Rockets.
Something. I'm really curious about what. No, he's not a basketball guy. Right. Or a college football guy.
No.
And so I decided to make a joke about college football playoffs. Worst joke I've ever made. I had no idea
you got him.
That was going to set Gilbert off.
I think the comedians call that bombing out.
Yeah. I don't know why Gilbert.
You triggered him.
Gilbert, why are you going to ask me that anyway? Like, I had no idea this was going to be. I never even went to college. Like, okay. I wasn't.
Okay.
I didn't. You can still be a college football fan. You never played in the pros, and you're a pro football fan.
Mm. We're not asking Gilbert monkey questions, okay?
No, don't tell him that story.
No, we're not doing. No, All right, it's 8:14, ESPN 97.5, bottom of the hour. Pat Forty joins us. Dana Holgerson's going to join us as well. Peter Gammons in an hour right here on ESPN 97.5.
But right now, yesterday, I finished watching Bad Sport on my patio, John, the Netflix doc. I finished Hansi Crocha or whatever, the South African cricket player. And watch that out on my patio. I mean, you know, I wish I could have been watching a baseball game, but that didn't exist yesterday. So I was out on my patio enjoying the change in the weather. It was great. Just put a little hoodie on, and I'm out there, and it was fantastic being out in that weather on my patio. Same thing can happen for you. You can have your TV on, your sound system on, watching your shows, watching games on Saturday, Sunday, your Premier League team, watching Everton try to turn things around after a horrific three-game run. That could be you. My life could be your life, only without all the kids. You could have your outdoor kitchen built in as well. I mean, they will walk you through the process, and when you want to add on, subtract, whatever the case may be, they can work with you on all of that. They can have you financed if you want to get your patio financed to get exactly what you're looking for. But the great thing is Texas Custom Patios build you an oasis. It's that simple. Look at my outdoor before and after shots, and you'll be blown away, and you'll see the same thing can be true for you. TCPLance.com. TCPLance.com as Texas Custom Patios.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:19 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got a lot of questions for Pat Forty coming next. Dana Holgerson as well. They got South Florida. And talk about that big win on Saturday night with him. That is going to be good. He's got... tonight at Lil Woodrow's on Shepherd. Are you going
to
be there?
No, we moved it to Edo.
Oh,
Lil
really?
Lil Woodrow's on Edo, right near Cobos.
Oh, right.
We're going to be doing them the rest of the year.
Oh, that's where they are the rest of the year.
Yep.
Oh, how much more convenient is that? That's nice.
I mean, it's a great setup. I mean, not that the one on Shepherd isn't a great setup, but the one in Edo's got, it's right there where everybody likes
right
to be,
across
right near
the
campus.
Street from Warehouse Live.
Yep.
Right.
Right near campus and everything. They've got it all set up for us.
Oh, that's good.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Good, good. That'll be fun. So we'll be, I'll probably stop by there tonight, see you guys. And Aaron runs the show over there. He's the producer of that show, so that's cool. Jeremy Branham is the host. Good stuff. So we'll try to stop on by over there. That's neat. In the meantime, we still got, okay, so we talked about, let's get back to our Houston Texans here. And this yesterday, Deshaun Watson not traded, Nick Caserio had all kinds of nothing to say about it. He refused to comment on the no trade clause. He refused to acknowledge if the Dolphins were involved. But he did. He kind of had a recap of the entire situation. And here's Nick Caserio talking about the entire Deshaun situation.
As it pertains to Deshaun, so we, going back to training camp when we kind of got together, it was our first opportunity to get together as a group. You know, we essentially said we're going to take it one day at a time. We're going to assess the situation, take the information that comes in, be respectful of everybody and all the parties that are involved. I would say with Deshaun, including other players, I would say throughout the league, there was various levels of discussions specific to him and then specific to some other players as well. In the end, there was no trade that came to fruition. So I don't really have any comment about some of the logistics and the mechanics and about what happened, what hasn't happened, what did happen. I would say that's where we are here for today. I actually talked to Deshaun here this morning. He and I had a conversation, so we're moving forward. We'll evaluate that situation, you know, as we move along here.
All right. I mean, that's about as much as you're going to get out. I mean, he won't tell you any of the details. He won't tell you who he talked to. He won't tell you. That's about as detailed as Nick Caserio is going to get, as informative as Nick Caserio is going to get, in which you learned basically absolutely nothing. We did learn, though, so roster building, what he's looking for, okay? I think this is pretty obvious, but this is his explanation of what he's looking for in a player to be on the Houston Texans team. Here's what Nick Caserio looks for.
We're looking for good players that are good people, that care about winning, that put the team first, that put the team above themselves, and are committed to work through purposeful action. Like, if you're asking me, what are we trying to do? Like, that's what we're trying to do, okay? Now, does that happen all at once? No, not necessarily. There's always a lot of moving parts, but the goal is to put some of those parameters in place and to put something in place so we can sustain for a long period of time. So I'd say right now, you know, we're in a rough spot. We haven't played as well as we had hoped, and we're all accountable. So the most important thing is to focus on the next step and what we can do moving forward.
So in other words, he's saying,
we want good players, good people.
Odell Beckham Jr., guys who are accountable, work hard. He basically is telling you, if Beckham gets cut, we're taking it.
Is he tampering because he just said, we don't want Odell Beckham Jr.? Is that a reverse
tampering?
He just said he doesn't want Odell Beckham Jr. He just said
Where did
that.
He say that?
He said we want good people,
okay, Aaron,
who are work hard, and that's all they care about is the team.
Okay, Aaron, play that answer again. Just cut it off after the basic. I don't care when he gets it. Just give me the first answer and tell me this doesn't sound like Odell Beckham Jr.
We're looking for good players that are good people, that care about winning, that put the team first, that put the team above themselves.
Stop.
But that's the anti-Odell Beckham Jr.
Josh Gordon?
Josh Gordon doesn't fit in that mold. Nope. None of the. Nope.
I'm going back. I think he's basically saying, if you get cut, Odell, we're right here and ready.
So we want. Okay. So is it
team first?
Okay.
But, team guy.
But listen, this isn't any different than Bob McNair. And I don't know that you're going to be able to build. I don't know that you're going to be able to build a team. First of all, you got to get good players and good people. Okay.
It's relative.
But how many guys are eliminated from their draft board?
It depends on what Cal says. I think there will be a lot more on the draft board than you think with Nick Caserio. I think he wants good people. I think every team wants good players, people.
Absolutely.
I think too much is made of that right now with the Texans as they currently stand. They have drafted guys who have not been great guys. I do enough background research on them that it's nobody I'm going to throw in the fire. But they're not drafting a bunch of choir boys. There's no such thing as a professional team of any sport where everyone's a choir boy. It's just not, that's just not the case. So I think people still make too big a deal about it. Wanting good people, I don't think that's, they get slammed for that. I don't think that's a bad thing to aspire to. The question becomes, what are you willing to deal with? How much edge on a player are you willing to deal with? And most importantly, you know when they will are willing to give a little bit on that personal character if their football character is exceptional, meaning love the game, love their teammates, and work their ass off. Yeah, but he's a little bit of a creep. If he's really, really good and the other things are really good, there's two types of character. There's personal character, the good guy stuff, you know, what kind of person, and then there's football character. Works really, really hard. Now, Deshaun was considered to be a high personal and high football character guy. The personal character maybe has come into question now. Does Deshaun have good personal character? I think that's, you know, potentially he's opened himself up to debate there. But what he does have is really, really good football character. He works hard. He puts time in. His teammates really like him. He's a good teammate. Until this year, and I'm not going to hold all of this year against him because I think, in general, the person he is high football character. And that's what you want, high football character. And if you have high football character and you're really good, you will let a little bit of the personal character stuff go. You don't want guys who are bad guys or, you know, there's a difference between a guy with some edge and a bad person. There's differences. Like, you've got a lot of edge. You're not a bad person, per se.
I don't know.
Okay.
I couldn't be a Texan.
Bob McNair would have, you might be okay with this. Okay. If Jack Easterby had to say, you would not be a Texan.
No, I wouldn't be a Texan.
But with Nick Caserio, he might be willing to consider you. Cal McNair doesn't, whatever. Cal doesn't care. Bob McNair would have scratched you off the board. Yeah. Bob would have scratched you. Charlie would have scratched you.
No, because I worked for the I didn't work for the Texans, but I was on that sideline. Bob McNair did not scratch me off the board.
He would now that he knows more.
I left my own volition.
Yeah, but 6'10", John, is a little different than 15'60", and a 97.5, John.
That's true. Now,
it's a
826.
You've really grown into a real scumbag role.
So, when we come back, Pat Forty will, he's not a bad person, though. Hey, shut up, Del. Just shut up, Del. So, Pat Forty's going to join us on the other side, and we'll ask him about this college football ranking and see if we can't get a straight answer out of him. But right now, give me the VIN.com. That's John Clay Wolf, and what a person he is. You want to now? John Clay Wolf might have a hard time being a Houston Texan because I don't think he fits the mold of what the Texans are looking for, and that's okay. You know what? John Clay Wolf says, I don't care. You think I want to be a Texan? No, he's a Cowboy fan, and you know what? We don't hold that against him because you know why. You can live with that because he will give
that's
you
like
more
Mac
money.
Jones. He's a Cowboy fan, and we live with that.
That's right.
And that's okay.
And that's okay because here's the deal. It's because he'll give you more money. Are you worth it? And the answer is yes. John Clay Wolf is worth it because he gives you more money for your car. If he gave you less money, then you go, why, worthless. I don't want John Clay Wolf around. But John Clay Wolf gives you more money for your vehicle. So you want the John Clay Wolfs. You'll put up with the John Clay Wolf. All of the stuff that he does. Look, if you're looking for the best way to go about this thing and sell that car, just go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. It's simple. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Guys, UnderdogFantasy.com, UnderdogFantasy.com. Download the app on your Apple or your Android, whatever the case may be, and use the app. What did I win? I'm looking here now, and I just got a little extra money in my account. So I apparently won something that did that made me a little bit of money. I didn't even check. I don't know what it was. It must have been one of my – I must have had a baseball – I think I had a baseball one that I started through the playoffs. So anyway, Underdog Fantasy has daily fantasy for games like tonight's Thursday night game. They have season-long fantasy. They have, of course, weekend games for football. You can have daily games for baseball, or rather basketball right now, hockey. They also have over-unders, and the over-unders are really cool where you look at Joe Burrow's passing yards or, you know, receiving yards for Odell Beckham Jr. is like 3.5 maybe is the number. And you get to pick over or under, and if you pick anywhere between 2 and 5, you are going to win a multiplier. So it's just like parlays. That's what they're paying out at UnderdogFantasy.com. Deposit today, underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code radio. Get a $25 bonus on top of your initial deposit. It's underdogfantasy.com.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, Pat Forte being joined right now again here on ESPN 97.5 by the Rotary Lombardi Award. So we appreciate the Lombardi Award sponsoring Pat Forte here every week. And we are talking college football with Pat Forte. Pat, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Doing well, guys. How about yourselves?
Doing great. Listen, everybody's talking about Cincinnati and where they ended up in the college football. My biggest beef is Oregon, Pat. How, with their resume, I know they have to be ahead of Ohio State because they went to Ohio State and won, but losing to a 5-loss Stanford team, beating Cal by 7, UCLA by 3, how is Oregon in the top 4 right now?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt it's a bad loss, but it also came with more extenuating circumstances than any loss I've seen this year. And their offensive coordinator came down with some emergency day of the game, didn't coach, ended up having surgery. Center got hurt in warmups, couldn't go. Best player on their team, Kayvon Thibodeau, got ejected in the fourth quarter, which helped Stanford drive down and score on an untimed down after a controversial flag in the end zone. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that went on in that game. Now, you take all that out, bad loss. But I think if you factor that in, you factor in a lot of mitigating circumstances and the best win anybody's got. I mean, you go into the horseshoe and win without Thibodeau and Justin Flo, two of your best players, and you control the game the whole way. You know, I don't know. I don't have too much of a problem with Oregon there.
Really? Okay. Wake Forest, they go unbeaten for the rest of the season. You see them in the playoff?
Yeah, I don't know. Boy, that would be a really interesting one. You know, I mean, if they're 13-0, that's in a Power 5 conference, that historically you're in. But this is a weak ACC. Their non-conference had nothing. It's interesting. Their game against North Carolina this week is actually a non-conference game. So they've got 8 other ACC games, so that actually helps their non-conference. You know, they've had a couple of close escapes, but if you're 13-0, I mean, you're going to be banging on that door saying, let us in. You know, now their toughest games are actually coming up. They've got NC State, Clemson. There might be one other one in there. I don't know. But in North Carolina.
North Carolina, yeah.
So we'll see. But I don't know. They will be a really interesting case study if they can get there.
Pat Forte joins us right now. You know, I thought it was – I call it the gun to your head test. If you have a gun to your head and you can front and put, you know, do all the commentary you have when it's out in public, but when it's nut cutting time, Alabama's number 2 pretty much for everyone. So I thought that was interesting that they actually did that. But I also find it interesting that, you know, right now Ohio State is sitting at 5. Is there a scenario where Ohio State, maybe this is the year Jim Harbaugh, or Ohio State knocks off Michigan State, then Jim Harbaugh knocks off Ohio State for the first time, and Michigan gets into the top 4?
I mean, sure, it's possible. You know, they're at 7 right now, and they would have a chance for quality wins against Penn State. I think that one's on the road, and then Ohio State's in the Big House. You get those wins, and you're sitting there 11-1, and your one loss was by 4 points on the road against a good team in a game that really they led most of the way. I mean, like, any one of 5 plays goes differently and Michigan beats Michigan State. So it's not a bad loss for sure. You know, I'd probably see what happens in the Big Ten championship game there. The West doesn't look like they're going to have an overpowering opponent. Michigan's already thumped Wisconsin on the road. Yeah, I think one loss Michigan could certainly be in play.
If Michigan State loses, Ohio State wins out, Oregon wins out, you could have Cincinnati, Oklahoma, and Wake Forest all undefeated, and there's a chance only one of them gets in.
Yeah, I mean, now you're talking about a lot of hue and cry. I mean, that, if that goes down, woo! And then to which I would turn around and say, if you'd expanded the playoff before now, everybody's happy, you know. But we're not at that point, so it's still a 4-team playoff. And yeah, I mean, if there's a pile up of one loss teams that people like that are already in the top four, you know, or top five in Ohio State's case, but then there's undefeated teams coming from behind there, if I add them, I mean, it will be as contentious as we've ever had a final couple of weeks of this thing.
Is it the impetus for getting that expanded playoffs done?
Oh, you wait and watch. I mean, if you have undefeated Wake Forest and you have undefeated Oklahoma and they're not in, listen to those commissioners. Listen to those fan bases and conferences howl. No doubt about it. When the Power Five Oxes start getting gored like that, if you go 13-0 and don't get into the playoffs, oh boy, yeah, be ready. That would cinch the deal. I think we're heading towards expansion anyway, although there's still some resistance, and that's partly being decided now in Dallas. And again, I think next week will probably be more important for that. But those deliberations are ongoing. And I think that this will be certainly part of the discussion if things continue the way that they could go.
Is Cincinnati getting jobbed, or is this where they should be?
I think they're getting jobbed. Top 10 win over Notre Dame, in which they were by far the better team. And Notre Dame's a one-loss team. I know the rest of the schedule's not great. Somebody made a pretty good analogy the other day. You know, they're being held back by their conference. Like in the NFL, where things are much more sensible, New England was never held back by being in a bad AFC East. They still were able to go to the playoffs. It wasn't because, oh, the Jets stink and the Dolphins stink and the Bills used to stink. But now Cincinnati's held back because there aren't enough good teams in their conference. I'm still hopeful SMU can give them a game. Maybe Houston gives them a good game in the AAC championship if that goes down. But for now, I feel like they're right where the committee always has them. They say, you know, we have great respect for them, and then they don't respect them in the rankings.
Mm-hmm. Is Michigan State going to be able to hold on to Mel Tucker?
Great question. They're going to have to step up for sure, because not just LSU may be in the mix, but the NFL may be in the mix. You know, he spent a long time in the NFL, was well-regarded in a lot of places there. So, you know, I think that there will be competition. They paid him extremely well coming off of 1-5-7 season at Colorado when they hired him. And he talked a great game about, I can win a national championship here. This is where I want to be. This is a dream job. Well, do you really mean it or not? You know, I think we're going to find out in about 4 weeks.
Yeah, I find it, it really is a good lesson. Mel Tucker is a lesson. And granted, this is 1 year. We'll see if he can extend it and if he does, in fact, strike while the iron's hot or stay at Michigan State and play it out. But there have been plenty of coaches. Bill Belichick is obviously the most famous, who have failed or not done as well in one place, but that doesn't define them as a coach. A coach might lose or might not have the best record. Cliff Kingsbury right now is doing that in pro football. I would argue that Nick Saban at Michigan State is – you know, was not held in anywhere near the regard that Nick Saban now is. So, I mean, I don't think you're defined necessarily by one of your first or second stops as a head coach necessarily.
Oh, that's a great point. Absolutely. You know, I mean, you could end up in a situation that's a bad fit, or, you know, some things go wrong, or you could just be too early into your tenure and not have learned enough, you know, and your best years are to come. And football is such a win now proposition that sometimes you don't get that second chance, but I think that, yeah, there's plenty of people. I mean, Pete Carroll, nobody expected Pete Carroll to dominate college football and then win a Super Bowl. It's amazing what he was able to do as well. So there's a lot of guys out there that's like, give me a chance, but give me a decent chance. Give me a fighting chance, and I'll show you what I can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Dana gave him a fighting chance last weekend, a big win over SMU. Did that win by Houston? Now, Houston probably faces Cincinnati in the championship game, but was it better for Cincinnati if SMU had won?
Yes, although, you know, there's another reason. I mean, I think the committee shafted both SMU and Houston. I think they probably both should have been in the top 25, already. But, yeah, that hurts now, because you take away an undefeated versus undefeated game that you can sell on November 20th. But, you know, I still think if you can sell – let's see, at that point it would be 10-1 Cincinnati again, 10-0 Cincinnati, 11-0 Cincinnati, 10-1 SMU, and then 2 weeks later, 12-0 Cincinnati, 11-1 Houston. Hey, those are two pretty big time games. If people will, if the committee will get out of, you know, the Power Five clouds and you know, force themselves to pay attention to them.
Yeah, if they do. Pat Forty every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by the Rotary Lombardi Awards. Pat, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging.
Thanks, Pat.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Thank you.
There's Pat Forty every week. Now, Dana's going to be joined, going to join us next to talk about that big win over SMU.
You know what I have here? Mallory from Maestro Dobel brought some tequila for me.
Well, where's mine?
Well, I can bring, I'll go right down the hall and pick it up, and I'll bring it in here if you want to have a little shot of tequila like I'm about to do. I'll have a sip of tequila because I'm not an animal like you. I'm not an animal like you. I'm going to sip it and because it is sipping. And the Cristalino called the Diamante, I had a restaurant reach out about it, as a matter of fact, about potentially becoming the kind of the face of their tequila brand for multiple locations they have. And the reason simple, it's a classy, well-made tequila. It is, the Cristalino is its own category. It was started by Maestro Dobel. This is 11 generations of tequila makers that we're talking about. 100% blue agave is what they use, but the process that they use is what determines and defines their delicious flavors. And I don't care if you're going with the silver, if you're going with, which is great for cocktails, the Reposado, which is a flavor that a lot of people love. I have the Añejo just came in, so I'm very excited about that, the smoky flavor. I love using the Añejo and the smoked silver that they have as part of my cocktails because I like a smoky cocktail as well. And, of course, because it's a high-end tequila, it's also going to be fantastic just for sipping, whether it's cool or room temperature. Make sure that you experience the difference with Maestro Dobel. Wherever fine spirits are sold, you can pick it up. They're the official sponsor of the Houston Open, or I'm sorry, of the PGA Tour, and Carlos Ortiz, who won the Houston Open last year. Maestro Dobel.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Dana's on an ESPN U call right now. As a matter of fact, he's getting off of that, so he'll be joining us here in just a minute. Dana Holgorsen brought to you by HRP, by Chastang Ford, and by Damaris Barbecue, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Big win for the Cougs over SMU with 30 seconds to play in a tie game. Marcus Jones returns the kickoff for the touchdown. Chase says it was the most exciting game, one of the best games I've seen in person in years. And it was loud on the field in that fourth quarter, and I know the team fed off of that.
You know who leads the entire nation in sacks? What team across this country leads the entire nation in sacks?
It would be the Houston Cougars.
Yep.
Right here.
Bing, bing, bing.
Is that Dana right there? There's Dana Holgorsen joining us right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, Coach, congratulations on the win.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. Sorry I'm a few minutes late calling in. You win a game or two, and a lot of people want to talk to you all of a sudden. So got a few more that I had to do here prior to calling in. But you guys are always number one, so wouldn't miss this.
So, hey, great, great, great. Biggest win at TDECU Field in some time. Listen, your heads up against the World Series, and that crowd was still, Chase was just telling us how loud it was on the field, how awesome the atmosphere was, and you're doing that, like I said, heads up against the World Series. That must have felt pretty good out down there.
Yeah, the whole night was pretty awesome. You know, I mean, it was going to be a heck of a matchup. We knew that going into it. Sonny's doing a good job there at SMU and got those guys playing good. They got good players and good coaches, and their morale's good, and they've been winning a lot. Our guys were ready to go, you know, so, you know, was pretty disappointed week ago with the five-hour delay and all the people that were there. The atmosphere was going to be great on homecoming, and, you know, we go out there at 8:30 and it's dead. But so our players were excited about that being a possibility, and it was, you know. So the pregame was good, and we had even more recruits at this one than we did the previous one. I think we had about 115 or so. Students came out, which was awesome. The fans were good. They stayed. They were into it in the fourth quarter. What a football game, though, man. I tell you, we jumped up on them. We were ready to go, and we jumped up on them. But you knew they were going to come back because they can score. They got, you know, the quarter, Mordecai's playing good. They got good backs, good receivers. So made some plays, and then it just was back and forth the entire second half. I think there was like five or six lead changes or something. You know, and they got to the crazy finish, and gladly, you know, Marcus is the best I've ever seen. You know, he's got to be in the argument of the best that's ever played from a return perspective. Another kickoff return for a touchdown at a pretty crucial moment, and, you know, and then we still had to go out there and defend a kickoff and defend a Hail Mary after that. But fun to get the win, man. That's what it's all about. I think that's a step in the right direction. I still think it can be better. I know it will be better. Like you said, when you're not going up against the Astros, that's important. We keep winning, and these games become more important. I think it's going to be even better.
I want to follow up on something you said. I know people are going to, who are listening, maybe don't follow U of H. They're going to hear you say Marcus Jones, one of the best that's ever done, and they're going to go, ooh, hyperbole much. He's had 25 touches this year and four touchdowns in his games this year. 19 punt returns for two touchdowns, six kickoff returns for two touchdowns. That's one out of every three kick return he's taken to the house. That's four touchdowns in only 25 touches. He plays some cornerback. He catches passes. Like, this is a different kind of athlete right here.
Yeah, I don't know what his offensive stats are. The offensive stats aren't incredible. I don't have them in front of me.
But no, he's only played, 10 catches for 109. He's got a receiving touchdown.
Yeah, he's scored again. And, I mean, I can argue that, you know, he single-handedly won the Navy game. He had a couple of catches, a big touchdown, and a kick return, a punt return for a touchdown, or a kick return for a touchdown. One of the two. I think it was a punt return in that game. You say, well, get him the ball more. Well, he's our best corner. I mean, he went toe to toe with Danny Gray, who's an NFL draft pick at receiver for SMU, and held his own, got a pick, and the guy made one or two plays, but that was about it. So, there's only one of them, you know, and you can't use him on offense and expect to get that kind of production on punt return and kick return. And he was pretty exhausted after that game just by playing defense and doing three or four of the returns. I don't know. He's the most well-rounded player I've ever been around. For him to be able to even do that in the couple of games that he played offense earlier in the years where we were struggling offensively and we needed a guy to come in and make some plays, and we were going up against a couple of offenses that we didn't feel like we needed him because they didn't have but a couple of receivers. But when you line three of them up, then you got to use every corner that you got. So, you know, couldn't be more proud of him and his efforts. And, you know, he's the best returner I've ever seen. I've coached some pretty good ones like Wes Walker and Taylon Austin. But for him to be able to play defense and then have the ability to be able to play offense like that is pretty special.
Dana Holgorsen, brought to you by HRMP, Damaris Barbecue, and Chastain Ford here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I've been critical of Clayton Tune when he plays poorly, so I got to give him big ups because he could. I don't know that he could have played much better. 412 yards, four touchdowns, Dana. He, and especially since you had the last couple of weeks have been rough running the ball, so he's had to put the team on his back, and he really has done it.
Yeah, you're right. You nailed what my emphasis is this week. I mean, if we don't start being able to, you know, line up and cover people up and finish blocks and get these backs going a little bit, then it's going to be tough down the stretch for us here to continue to keep winning. With that said, you know, Clayton's overcame some things this year. You know, just, you know, the second half against Tech wasn't great. He knew it, had to do better. Came back, played really good against Rice, but then yanked his hamstring, and that thing was not good for about a month. that it really started making him understand the importance of pre-snap, what I got to do, and in the pocket, what I got to do, because he was not able to do anything. We have not called a quarterback run with him since Rice. That's probably going to change because he's starting to get close to 100%. But for him to overcome all that and to increase his knowledge and his football awareness of what the defense is doing and understand where they're going and what plays we got to get into, and for him to understand that he can't rely on his legs. He can't rely on him scrambling around. He's got to be able to get the ball out of his hands. He's gotten a lot better, man. Now, I'm really proud of him, and he just keeps getting better. He's coming off his best performance against SMU. Legs are getting underneath him, and he's gonna help us finish this thing off strong.
How's McCaskill?
He's good. He's good. It scared him more than anything, lower leg thing. Scared him. Practiced yesterday, looked good, going to be ready to go.
He is going to be ready to go. So what's been the problem the last couple of weeks, you think, running the football? What's it been?
Yeah, it's just, you know, you got to give some defenses credit for it. I think East Carolina did a heck of a job. They schemed us up and did good things, and we were a little flat, you know, so that is what it is. I do think Tayshaun Henry came in and gave us a spark last week. He got tough yards, we got to do a better job up front. I mean, it isn't how we're coaching it. It isn't, you know, what the play calls are. It's not, you know, getting tight ends and backs involved in it and all that. Not having the quarterback being able to run hurts you a little bit. But we got to finish blocks up front, and we didn't do a very good job of that, and that's going to be the emphasis here this week with improving our pad level and finishing blocks at the point of attack. I mean, it is what it is. Everything starts up front, you know, and as good as they did in pass protection, that was kind of the off-season thing, because we've been running the ball decent here. The pass protection aspect of it was the off-season kind of thing that we knew we needed to get better at. Well, we accomplished that, and we're pass protecting very well, so I want to pat him on the back for that. But we got to be able to do both if you want to win big games and make a championship run.
What are your thoughts on Cincinnati being sixth and not in the playoff right now?
Yeah, I mean it's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know who these committee people are. I literally don't know who they are. I don't know what makes them so smart when it comes to all this. You know, no quality wins. I mean, they won at Notre Dame. They won at Indiana. The American Conference is good football, you know, so they got some games ahead of them. You know, they got to play at East Carolina, which East Carolina is going to have a good record at that point. They got to play against SMU. They got some games ahead of them to where they can prove some things. But, you know, they're 8-0 or whatever they are with a couple of quality wins. I don't know what else you got to do. And it just shows that the system's broke. And, you know, I don't know what other division, what other sport, you know, lines up at the beginning of the year and they got no chance of winning a championship. You got 0% chance of even being in the conversation. With the CFP only being at 4, there's only a handful of teams, and you guys know this, there's only a handful of teams that have any kind of chance of making that. So what does everybody else do? If you're satisfied with just a conference championship and a bowl game, then great. But there's no other division and there's no other sport that has it the way that we have it. And it's absurd. It's ridiculous. It needs to change. And hopefully it will.
Well, you can't even slip up. Like when I say slip up, you know, have a down game against
Tulane,
Navy and Tulane, yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, but here's Oklahoma, and this has been my point. Oklahoma had that same game against Tulane at home. Oklahoma had that game against Kansas, who's going to be worse than a lot of the teams on Cincinnati.
Well, Cincinnati's ahead of Oklahoma.
And yeah, but just barely by two spots. Yeah. And Oklahoma, you know, I mean, well, that's true. I guess they are ahead.
They're
of
both
Oklahoma.
Undefeated.
Oklahoma's had, but here's the difference. Oklahoma keeps winning. I'll bet you they jump up faster than Cincinnati keeps winning.
We'll see. How about you guys not even being in the top 25?
Yeah, I could care less. I mean, we're proud of 7 in a row and 5-0 in the league and top 20 in a couple of these other polls. It matters to be ranked because you get talked about more. It's good for the program. You're on TV and stuff more. All that stuff's good. It's just another thing of disrespect, which we're quite honestly better when we get disrespected. So I can use that to our advantage to say some things to our team to get them motivated. But you know, it's the same old thing. We're proud of that, and it's awesome that we've won seven in a row and we keep this thing rolling. But don't forget all the hard work that we put in to get here. And we had our best practice Monday night that we've had all year, so I was proud of that. We came back yesterday and practiced well, so it's all about the preparation. If that's any indication of how we're going to play this weekend, then I think we'll keep it going.
Yeah. South Florida, give us a quick thumbnail.
They're better. Year two. Year two, they're better. They play hard. They're in close games. You know, they're 2-6. They beat Temple, you know, pretty good a couple weeks ago, played East Carolina tough. They're getting better. They're better than you want them to be on all three sides of the ball. We got to play well. We got to play hard. We got to be motivated to play. It's going to be a battle. It's on the road. It's in conference, and we need to be motivated to do what we got to do to win.
That's it. Go get them, man. Congratulations. Yeah, you can't afford a letdown here now. I mean, that's got to be awfully difficult. That's one of the hardest things, I would imagine, is to keep those guys after a big, big, big win and exciting and how awesome it was to keep that same focus the next week. So best of luck doing that, man. Go get a win, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
There's Dana Holgorsen right here, ESPN 97.5.
That's a hell of a turnaround.
The 92.5.
I mean, for this season, and it's not – it hasn't been a gauntlet of teams that U of H has had to get through in their own division necessarily, but I thought the win at Tulsa was a good win when they got it based on what Tulsa has done. The win against SMU, the most impressive part to me is that once SMU caught Houston and passed Houston, that then Houston was able to get into a score-for-score battle with them in the second half. That's not something they could have done early in the season. The offense was just not – it was just not capable of doing that. And in this case, they got off to a quick start, which was a big issue early in the season. And then once again, the ability to go score for score with SMU when they needed to over like a three-possession run, that was impressive to me. SMU couldn't get a stop. And I think that's the reason why Houston ultimately is in this position to play spoiler for Cincinnati down the road if they handle their own business, is because, you know, the consistency has really improved. Dana's done a nice job of improving, and his coaching staff, of improving consistency on both sides of the ball. The defense had done their job. This time SMU got it cranked up, and the offense stepped up, which was not the case earlier in the season, even midway through the season. You couldn't have counted on them to get into a shootout, but you had your X-factor step up again and make another play in Marcus. And it's really
impressive. Clayton Tune has turned the corner too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's a great quarterback, but he's better.
He played great the other night.
He did.
27-37, 4-12, and 4 TDs.
No, he played. He had a great. He had a great game.
Great game.
And that's what it just rises to the occasion when you need to.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to let old narratives go. If Tune wasn't the guy and didn't play well early,
he's playing.
You have to be prepared for somebody to improve and get better because that happens too.
And they only averaged 2 yards a run, by the way.
Yeah, and so you knew they were going to be throwing the football.
Yep, they had to. But he was still balanced. 38 passes, 38 runs. I mean, Dana's going to run the football now.
Wow.
It don't matter. 2 yards of carry, he's still running the football. Time to talk about, well, somebody who is, by the way, big ups to the sponsors, HRP, Damaris Barbecue, and Chastain Ford. And Chastain Ford is what I'm talking about right now. Chastain Ford is the place to pick up that Ford car or truck. Right now, the F-150s, you want $1,000 off. And you say, oh, $1,000 off. Well, it used to be $5,000. Not anymore, people. Not anymore. Not with the car industry the way it is. As a matter of fact, a lot of dealerships ain't giving you $1,000 off. They're adding $5,000. They're adding $10,000 to the price because of the circumstances of the new car industry. That ain't what they're doing to Chastain Ford. Chastain Ford says, we are still going to give you those rebates that Ford is going to give you because we want you to get into that Ford car or truck at the best price you can possibly get it, with the best service you can possibly get, and no dealer add-ons. Period, exclamation point. They will never do that at Chastain Ford because that's where it starts at the top with the great leadership of Chastain. And it goes all the way through, and that's how they do business every single day with the best in service and the best price and the best. I'm telling you, you will love being in the Chastain family. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, or you can do it all online at ChastainFord.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.